Okay, so you know what always catches a law student's eye? Big money lawsuits.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially when we're talking $21 million.
Yep, that'll do it.
That's what we saw in Sunnyland Farms, Inc., V Central, New Mexico Electrical Cooperative, Inc. That's a New Mexico Supreme Court case that I think is pretty important for every law student out there.
Really interesting case for sure.
We're going to take a deep dive today into the core issues in that case and what it tells us about consequential damages and lost profits for brand new businesses and how to think about punitive damages.
Sounds good.
So this is going to be like your cheat sheet to understanding some super important parts of contract and tort law.
Absolutely.
And it all comes from this one crazy story about a power shutoff at a brand new hydroponic farm, and the consequences were devastating.
Yeah, it really is a wild story. This case isn't just about the money, though. It's a great example of how all these legal principles that we learn about in law school actually play out in real life.
Right. And so many law students are probably thinking like, okay, well, how is this going to apply to me in the real world when I'm actually practicing law?
For sure.
This case is a great example of that.
Especially if you're dealing with contract breach or negligence,
Exactly.
Sunnyland Farms is a case you want to know.
For sure. So let's paint a picture for everyone. Imagine Sunnyland Farms. It's a brand new, state-of-the-art hydroponic tomato farm.
Okay, I can picture it.
They depend completely on electricity from the Central New Mexico Electrical Cooperative, or CNMEC.
So they need power.
They need power, big time. This is their first huge project, and they've invested so much.
High stakes.
High stakes. Everything hinges on them having a reliable source of power.
It's like that for a lot of new businesses,
Oh,
right?
totally.
They're always operating on such thin margins at the beginning. Huge startup costs.
Huge startup costs, and you need everything to run smoothly.
And especially for Sunnyland with their fancy hydroponic system, electricity wasn't just nice to have, it was essential.
Essential, yeah. And then, come September 8th, 2003, CNMEC cuts off their power because Sunnyland didn't pay their bill.
Oh.
And here's the thing. CNMEC was supposed to give them a 15-day notice,
Right.
standard procedure. And Sunnyland, they didn't get it.
So right away, you're thinking breach of contract.
Ding, ding, ding. That's
Right.
exactly right. Not following the rules that were agreed on.
That's huge.
Yeah, for anyone listening who wants to be a lawyer,
Yeah.
that's a red flag you got to spot.
Right.
Because that one mistake
Could be huge.
could lead to a whole mess of legal trouble.
Yeah. And in this case, it wasn't just a small inconvenience either. It had the potential to cause massive problems for Sunnyland, given what they do.
Exactly. So sadly, the very next day, total disaster strikes.
Oh,
While the
no.
power is still off, there's a welding accident and it starts a fire.
Oh, man.
But here's where it gets really interesting for us law nerds. Remember how the power was off? Well,
Yeah.
because of that, the water pumps that they needed to fight the fire, they didn't work.
That's terrible.
So think about it this way. One event happens, seems totally unrelated, but because of that first breach of contract,
Everything changing.
it turns into a catastrophe.
This is a perfect example of what we call causation in law, both in contract and tort law, because CNMEC shut off the power.
It made Sunnyland super vulnerable.
And that made the consequences of the accident way worse than they should have been.
And the story doesn't stop there. So firefighters show up ready to do their job, but guess what? They can't get to the well water because, no surprise, there's still no electricity.
Oh, no.
So they actually call up CNMEC and ask them to turn the power back on so they can put the fire out properly.
Makes sense.
What CNMEC did at that moment was really important, and it became a central part of the case later on.
And I bet it raised some serious questions, too.
Huge questions. Like when you have a contract dispute and then there's an emergency, what are the obligations you have and what kind of liability are you facing?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
CNMEC refused to turn the power back on while the firefighters were trying to put out the fire. They said they were worried about being liable.
I see.
And the result, Sunnyland's brand new facilities were completely destroyed, and their entire first crop was lost. Imagine all that potential income gone.
That's heartbreaking. I can't even imagine what they were going through.
Just a devastating outcome for a brand new business. For all you future lawyers out there, think about that loss and all the legal arguments you could make because of it.
It's hard to imagine a worse start for a new business. To have your entire investment just wiped out like that.
Yeah, and to think it might have been avoided if the power had been on.
It makes sense that they would want to take legal action.
And they did. Sunnyland sued CNMEC for breach of contract, because they didn't give them the proper notice.
Right.
And they also sued for negligence, saying that CNMEC's actions directly contributed to how bad the damage was.
That makes sense.
Those are the two main legal paths you see in cases like this. So pay close attention to how the courts analyze them separately.
Yeah, and what happened at the trial court was pretty big, right?
Huge.
They awarded Sunnyland over $21 million in damages.
$21 million. That included $13.7 million for lost profits that they would have made in the future, which is a ton of money.
Especially for a company that hadn't even finished their first harvest.
Right. And on top of that, they added $100,000 in punitive damages.
Wow.
To really punish CNMEC for how they acted. But the court also found that Sunnyland was 80% responsible for the damages in the tort case.
80%.
Which means they reduced the amount Sunnyland could get for negligence by a lot.
But the contract damages...
No, stayed the same.
Including the lost profits. This is a good example of how fault and liability can be totally different depending on whether it's a contract or a tort claim.
That's so important to see the difference.
And the trial court basically split the baby with this decision, right?
They did.
It really highlights how contract and tort law are separate and how the same set of facts can be looked at in totally different ways by the law.
Totally different outcomes. It's super important for law students to grasp that.
Couldn't agree more.
Of course, CNMEC appealed. And the Court of Appeals ended up reversing some of the big decisions from the trial. So Sunnyland decided to take their case all the way to the New Mexico Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And that's where the New Mexico Supreme Court really clarified the law.
So let's get to the heart of it.
Let's do it.
The big legal questions that the Supreme Court had to deal with. First up, consequential damages in the breach of contract claim. That's where the New Mexico Supreme Court really laid down the law.
Let's break this down for the students listening. So consequential damages, they're not the direct losses you have from breaking a contract. They're not like the cost of stuff you didn't get delivered.
Right.
There are losses that happen indirectly because of specific circumstances that the person who broke the contract knew about or should have known about when they made the agreement.
Yeah, like a domino effect.
It's like a chain reaction from the breach.
And how courts decide whether you can get these indirect damages has changed a lot. Back in the day, New Mexico courts used something called the tacit agreement test. It came from a case called Glober Fining.
Tacit agreement. So that sounds kind of vague and up for interpretation, right?
Definitely.
That's something to keep in mind as a law student. Those older fuzzy tests.
They often get replaced.
They get replaced by clearer, more objective rules.
Much better.
So what did the tacit agreement test actually mean in practice?
It basically meant that to get consequential damages, the person who broke the contract had to have silently agreed to be responsible for those specific losses.
So it really depended on what the court thought they were thinking.
Yeah, it was subjective.
And that makes it hard to guess how a case will turn out right.
Absolutely. Lots of uncertainty. The newer way of doing things, which comes from a famous English case, Habley v. Baxendale, and it's explained really clearly in the restatement, second of contracts, section 351.
Law students, write that one down.
That one's important. It focuses on objective foreseeability.
Objective foreseeability.
Wait, that's the key.
So in the Sunnyland Farms case, what was the clash between those two approaches? Why did New Mexico Supreme Court decide to ditch the tacit agreement idea?
They said it straight up. The tacit agreement test was confusing and antiquated.
Wow, they didn't mince words.
Nope. And they even said this, I'm going to quote them directly. While we suspect that there may not, in fact, be much space between a tacit agreement and the special circumstances required to render a defendant liable for consequential damages, our previous emphasis on the tacit agreement test from Glober Fining is confusing and antiquated. Basically, they're saying the old way was messy.
They wanted something clearer.
Exactly.
More modern. So what rule did they finally choose for consequential damages in New Mexico contract law? This is important for all our contract law fans out there.
They went with Hadley v. Baxendale, the way it's explained in Restatement, second of contracts, section 351. Now, the big question is, could CNMEC have predicted the specific loss back when they made the agreement with Sunnyland? We're talking about the fire damage and all the business they lost because of it. Could they have foreseen it?
So not just could they have predicted a power outage.
Right.
But could they have predicted a fire specifically?
That's the question.
And that's all based on what they knew at the time about Sunnyland.
Exactly.
So applying that to the fire, the court said that CNMEC wasn't responsible for the damage from the fire based on contract law. But why? If we're talking about foreseeability, what did CNMEC know, or what should they have known?
think about what they knew at the time.
Yeah.
There was no proof that CNMEC knew when they made the deal with Sunnyland that turning off the power for not paying, even without giving them proper notice, would probably cause a welding accident.
Right.
Which would then start a fire and knock out their backup water system. They just couldn't have known all that. The court made it super clear. With neither findings nor evidence of special circumstances, we cannot uphold a judgment for consequential damages.
Yeah.
They're basically saying the fire and how bad it got, that wasn't something you could predict just because the power went out for a bit.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
You could predict that a power outage would cause Sunnyland to lose some work time and maybe some crops, but a giant fire because of a random accident and made worse by the power being off, that's a stretch.
It is.
Okay, so let's shift gears a bit and talk about that $13.7 million that Sunnyland was awarded for lost profits.
Whoa.
I mean, that's a huge amount of money.
Especially for a business that's brand new, no track record.
Yeah, and this is a tricky area in law, right?
Oh, absolutely. New businesses always have a tough time trying to get money for lost profits.
Why is that?
Because there's so much uncertainty, you know?
Yeah.
How can you be sure a new business would have been successful?
And New Mexico had this precedent, the Kettering case, which made it super hard for new businesses to claim future lost profits.
Because it was also speculative?
Right. So what did the Supreme Court do about Kettering in the Sunnyland Farms case? That's
yeah.
a big deal for new businesses in New Mexico.
They said Kettering was wrong.
They overruled it.
Threw it out. Huge change in New Mexico law. They said just because a business is new doesn't mean you can't claim lost profits.
So they're giving new businesses a fighting chance.
Exactly. They're saying, look, you can't just assume a new business won't be profitable.
So what's the new rule for new businesses in New Mexico? If they want to get money for lost profits, what do they have to show the court?
The court said, yes, you can claim those lost profits.
Okay.
But you have to prove it with reasonable certainty. That means you need strong evidence, expert testimony, market analysis, really detailed financial projections.
Like a business plan, but on steroids.
Exactly. You have to show with real data that you were likely to make a profit.
So Sunnyland didn't get the money for the fire damage because of the contract, but they still had a chance to get money for lost profits.
Yes. And this shows you how different contract and tort law can be. The Supreme Court said no to the lost profits in the contract case because they weren't foreseeable under Hadley.
Right.
But they said yes to the lost profits in the negligence case, the tort claim.
So in a tort case, you can think more broadly about the harm that could have been predicted.
Exactly. It's super important for law students to see that difference.
Okay, let's move on to punitive damages. That extra $100,000 the trial court gave Sunnyland. Why did the Supreme Court say no to that?
Punitive damages, those are for when someone acts really badly, not just making a mistake.
Right.
In New Mexico, you have to prove that the defendant acted willfully, recklessly, or maliciously.
That's a high bar.
It is, much yeah. higher than just being negligent or breaking a contract.
And the court didn't think CNMEC was that bad.
No.
They made mistakes that contributed to the damage, but not to the point where they deserved to be punished on top of everything else. What was the court's thinking there?
Some firefighters said that they felt CNMEC was being difficult, even threatening them, when they wouldn't turn the power back on.
Okay.
But the Supreme Court looked at all the evidence and said, no, CNMEC didn't act with the intention to cause harm. They weren't being culpable in a way that would justify punitive damages.
Culpable, that's the key word.
It is. It means they weren't intentionally being bad or ignoring the risks.
So it's not enough that their actions had bad consequences.
Right.
They had to be deliberately bad. Okay, so the court was convinced that CNMEC was really worried about the firefighter safety. They were worried about what would happen if they turned the power back on while the firefighters were still working.
Exactly. The court said this, and this is important. Given the overwhelming weight of evidence suggesting that CNMEC employees did not, in fact, threaten firefighters with liability, combined with the evidence strongly suggesting that CNMEC employees were acting in the interest of the firefighters' safety, we cannot find that there was substantial evidence supporting the third Chevarria factor for punitive damages.
They even said that acting in safety interest does not equal recklessness.
Which means even if they made a bad call, even if things went wrong, they weren't trying to be reckless.
Right. So even if CNMEC's actions contributed to the disaster, they weren't intentionally trying to harm Sunnyland. That's a super important distinction when we're talking about punitive damages.
Absolutely. You can cause big damage by being negligent, but to get hit with punitive damages, you have to have acted much worse than that.
Let's quickly cover the points about interest rates and insurance. The court made some rulings on those that are worth knowing.
Yes, they clarified the interest rates that apply after a judgment.
Okay.
For the damages that Sunnyland got because of CNMEC's negligence.
The tort part.
Right. The interest rate is 15%. That's set by law. But for the damages Sunnyland got for breach of contract, the interest rate is 8.75%. That was the rate in their contract.
So different parts of the case have different interest rates.
Different rules apply.
Okay, so what about CNMEC trying to use Sunnyland's insurance to pay less in damages? What legal principle were they trying to use there?
That's called the collateral source rule. It's a big deal in tort law.
Okay.
It basically says if someone hurts you and you get money from your own insurance, the person who hurt you can't use that to pay you less. They still owe you the full amount. CNMEC was trying to get around this rule by buying the right to be paid back from Sunnyland's insurance company.
So they were trying to take the place of the insurance company.
Exactly. Trying to step into their shoes.
And the Supreme Court was not having it.
No way.
They said no. Why did they uphold the collateral source rule in this case?
They said that allowing a defendant who was found negligent to use the plaintiff's insurance to pay less would be wrong. They even said this. The person asserting the right to subrogation must be without fault.
Subrogation, that's the key word.
It is. Basically, the court said that if someone is at fault, they can't benefit from the injured person having insurance.
Because then people who cause harm would be rewarded for other people being responsible.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's wrap this up. This Sunnyland Farms case, what are the main takeaways for our law student listeners? What are the things they absolutely need to remember?
So many good lessons here.
So many.
First up, if you're dealing with consequential damages in a breach of contract case, remember Hadley v. Baxendale. That's the test now. The old tacit agreement test is gone. It's all about foreseeability. Could the person who broke the contract have predicted the specific harm that happened?
And for new businesses, those that are just starting out and worried about proving they've lost money.
The Kettering case is no more. New businesses in New Mexico can now fight for their lost profits, but they need good evidence, financial experts, market analysis, and strong projections, especially if they're going after someone for negligence.
Okay, and when should a law student be thinking about the possibility of getting punitive damages?
Punitive damages are for the worst of the worst. You have to show that the defendant acted intentionally bad, reckless, or malicious. It's not enough that they screwed up. They have to have been deliberately awful.
So one last takeaway about insurance and liability.
The collateral source rule is the law of the land in New Mexico. If you hurt someone and they get money from their insurance, you can't use that to get out of paying. You still owe them, and you can't try to get around that by messing with their insurance.
These are all huge points. So as you're thinking about this case, here's a final question to ponder. Given what we've learned from Sunnyland Farms, particularly about the Hadley rule, and the fact that new businesses can now try to recover their lost profits, how do you think this will change how contracts are written in New Mexico going forward? Do you think parties will be more careful and specific about those possible consequential damages? And for those brand new companies, how will they approach risk assessment, especially when it comes to utilities like electricity? This case really makes you think about the real-world challenges of proving foreseeability and future losses in the courtroom.
For sure. This case is like a wake-up call, especially about being clear in your contracts and outlining potential risks and liabilities. For new businesses, keeping good records and having solid financial projections is going to be more crucial than ever, especially if they need to go after someone for lost profits. It's complicated, but Sunnyland Farms gives us valuable insight into how contract and court law works in New Mexico today.
It's a case that every law student should know inside and out.
Couldn't agree more.
Until next time, keep learning. And stay sharp.